Hey everyone, this is Eliza D, and welcome back for another episode of How to Save the Planet, a show where we interview people who have jobs in climate change or environment. Now, let's get started. With us today, we have Owen Bagley Collier, or Orca Guy. Owen joined Plant for the Planet over 5 years ago, or at the time of recording this, before 2015. Most recently, Owen's organized a letter-writing campaign to breach the Snake River dams. Owen's also organized a car caravan protest to raise awareness about the Navy's poorly regulated testing in southern resident orca critical habitat. He's also left oral comments at the meetings for Idaho's Salmon Task Force and the Pacific Fishery Management Council. Owen is a co-leader of the event's public education realm for the Endangered Species Coalition's campaign to breach the Snake River dams. And Owen is attempting at this time to have a meeting about the Snake River dams with Washington State Governors Jay Inslee, or a member of Inslee's staff, with a small group of activists from the Sunrise Movement and Climate Action Families. Hello and welcome, Owen, to How to Save the Planet.
Thank you for having me on.
Yes, thank you for coming. So can you tell us a little bit about who you are and what you fight for?
So I'm Owen Beckley Collier. I've worked with Climate Action Families, and more recently I've got more involved with the southern resident orcas and the issues that they face. This is a population of orcas that are currently at 74 individuals, and they've been on like the decline for the past couple of years. There's three pods, J, K, and L, and they recently had two new babies named Phoenix and Crescent. I've organized a car caravan protest to raise awareness about the Navy's plan to take 51 of them. Take meaning disrupt or harass, which the Navy's plans included firing projectiles into the sea at 7 times the speed of sound, using really loud sonar, and exploding 1,000-ton bombs, or pound bombs, in their critical habitat, and without very adequate mitigation measures. All of these practices have the ability to cause hearing damage and, with repeated incidents, kill orcas and other marine mammals. And it was sadly approved by NOAA, making it really important that the other problems that these whales face are addressed effectively, which means better fishery management, dam removal, habitat restoration, and better restrictions on toxic substances entering the water. So more recently, that's what I've been focused on. And to get more into why, at least 80% of these whales' diet is Chinook salmon. And these salmon have been on the decline for a long time because of human activity. The southern residents also have the problems of noise pollution and toxins. But we have a population of transient or mammal-eating orcas living in virtually the same habitat, with the same problems of toxins and boat noise, and they're thriving. And this is why most scientists believe that the salmon decline is the biggest deal breaker for the southern residents. And as I mentioned before, they had two new babies, so with more mouths to feed, it's even more important that they get more Chinook. And the biggest and quickest thing we can do to increase Chinook salmon abundance is breach 4 dams on the Lower Snake River, which I'm a part of the Endangered Species Coalition's campaign to do. I've left various public comments and whatnot around that as well. And more than 50% of the salmon that the southern residents eat comes from the Columbia River system. And the Snake is the largest tributary to that system. It's basically the backbone. And the Lower Snake River dams cause a bunch of problems for salmon that are really complex, but I'll try to just explain, sort of. Despite having salmon ladders and other passages, it's really hard for salmon to pass those dams. And most of the salmon that die are smolts or baby salmon. And most of the smolts that die crossing the dams die in the slackwater reservoirs behind them. The stagnant water heats up past 68 degrees. Sediment also gets trapped behind the dams, which makes the water clearer, which makes the salmon that are already overheating more susceptible to predation. And that's not even taking into account the delayed mortalities caused by the stress of passing through four dams on the Snake and then more on the Columbia. The Snake River dams and reservoirs kill around 40% of the smolts or baby salmon that try to pass through them. And they kill so many fish that the fish are no longer replacing themselves. And both hatchery fish and wild fish are doing really bad. But hatchery fish are worse because they're inbred and there's no natural selection in a hatchery. So they're essentially watering down the genetics of the wild fish when they breed with the wild fish. So hatchery production might give us some short-term benefits, but the only way to really save those stocks is to save wild fish. And that's what dam removal does, which is why I'm focused on the natural side of things as opposed to more hatchery production. And what makes dam removal really low-hanging fruit is that it's not a trade-off between economics and the environment. For every dollar that is put into the dams, 15 cents comes out, according to Earth Economics. So we're losing money and killing salmon. And the power of the dams can be replaced with no new fossil fuel infrastructure, according to the Northwest Energy Coalition. So it's not a trade-off between salmon and the climate either. And I presented a lot of that information to Idaho's Salmon Task Force, and I'm trying to meet with a member of Jay Inslee's staff about breaching the dams. So that's basically what I'm doing and why.
Cool. Well, it sounds like you're doing really powerful work that needs to get done. So kudos to you. How did you get interested? Like, where did you like hear about the problems for these orcas and the sea life?
Yeah, so I've been interested in orcas for like since first grade, and I've wanted to study them for basically as long as I can remember. I made an orca club at my old school where we would watch documentaries and invite experts to talk about the whales. That club kind of died after like the first year or two, but around 2018, 2019, the urgency of the southern resident situation became really clear with a bunch of deaths. And as you may know, a whale named Tukwila carried her dead calf on her head for 17 days. I also saw one of the whales, J50 Scarlet, a couple weeks before she died. And while she wasn't emaciated yet, she was clearly less energetic and skinnier than the last time I saw her. And it's kind of hard to study something that doesn't exist. So I realized if I wanted to achieve this goal of studying them, I had to do something. So that's when I started dedicating more time to learning about the orcas and how to help, which started out as raising money for places like the Center for Whale Research and a letter writing campaign for Snake River Dam removal. But then I got more involved with the car caravan, the public comments, and working with the Endangered Species Coalition, and soon, hopefully, some lobby meetings.
Wow. Well, that seems like a really practical reason to want to defend them, because, I mean, if they're all gone, then, you know, you can't do any research on them.
Yeah.
But why do you defend these orcas? Is it just so you can like study them and learn about them in the future or now, or are there maybe some other factors?
Well, we need sustainable runs as much as they do. So this isn't just about them. This is about human survival as well. And I think just a moral argument is that they're another living creature, and like with a level of consciousness that's basically where we are, general intelligence that's even higher. So yeah, I just think it would be morally wrong to let them die, especially since most of the actions that we can take are stuff that's, you know, completely within our ability.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. How has your activism affected or impacted your life and or life plans? Have you gotten any like scholarships or I'm not sure, like anything around the lines of your activism?
I haven't gotten any like scholarships or anything, but it's kind of forced me to do things I've never thought I'd do as a 15-year-old, like organize protests and pestering the media to look at what I'm doing. And before I started doing this, I didn't even know what words like lobby even meant. And while it takes up time, as I said before, it's pretty crucial if I want to achieve my life plans. So in terms of life plans, it hasn't changed very much. It's also kind of made me more aware of misinformation and how things can get twisted by people with ulterior motives, because with climate change and with the Snake River dams and orcas and whatnot, there are people who will just completely cherry pick and skew and distort things to fit a worldview that doesn't align with reality. So it's just made me more cautious in general, and then also thrusting me into a new but really cool and interesting situation.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that sounds cool. What does climate justice mean to you and the orcas and the Snake River Dam removal and all that you fight for?
I think in the grand scheme of things, I think what I'm doing is like a very crucial first step in achieving environmental justice, because if we want to stop climate change, or if we were to stop climate change, breach the dams, and restore every river and clean up the ocean, we'd still probably have problems, because the mentality that created the dams and allow us to pollute the oceans and the atmosphere would still exist. This mentality of the environment being something that we can just exploit to no end without consequences, when the reality is resources are finite. And if we destroy our environment and kill all the animals, our lives are going to be extremely dull, and we're not going to be able to survive because we need this stuff too. So the way I see it is that what I'm doing is sort of like first aid work, and when the problems are hopefully fixed, or the immediate problems, Earth will have to be, I guess, taken to the hospital, so to speak, and this mentality will have to be fixed. And what that fix would be is super hard to answer, but we have to do something.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. What are some ways as we as individuals or groups can help protect sea life and orcas and even help with breaching the Snake River dams?
Well, there's a lot of things people can do to reduce their personal impacts, like driving less and not washing your car at your house and stuff like that. But more importantly, I would say, is like you said, making your voice heard on a lot of those issues. Like call or write or even try to meet with Jay Inslee and Maria Cantwell and Patty Murray and any other local politicians to tell them to support things like dam breaching, especially with dam breaching, because the Army Corps of Engineers can breach the dams without Congress, without money from Congress, without congressional authorization. All the policies are there for them to begin breaching within a couple of months. But they need more political pressure to do that. So we need as many politicians as we can engaged on this issue. Leave public comments, tell your friends about the orcas. If there's some sort of like river restoration event, participate in that. Speak up against pipelines and, you know, poorly regulated Navy testing and all that kind of stuff to get the biggest offenders to stop what they're doing. A couple places where you can learn about this stuff and the actions you could take would be the Orca Network, DAM, D-A-M, Sense, Wild Orca, the Center for Whale Research, and PNW Protectors. And another thing you can do is join the Endangered Species Coalition's campaign. It's completely grassroots, volunteer campaign, and they give you all the training you need, so you don't need to have any experience to get in. And you can find them on Snake River Savers on Facebook just to get started and learn how to join.
Cool. Well, those are definitely some good steps to take. I left a comment. I think it was the Idaho, I forget which Idaho group, but it was some group in Idaho. And because I heard about your campaign from Climate Action Families. And so that was cool. I'll definitely share it with my friends and family. Thank you.
Thank you.
What encouragement or hopeful thoughts could you give to our listeners around making a difference in this climate crisis?
Well, I think humanity is capable of a lot, or more than we think we are. We've sadly been able to like cause all of these problems. But if I think humanity has shown us anything, it's that we're more than capable of fixing them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. We've caused them so we can solve them.
Yeah.
Thank you so much, Owen, for coming on to How to Save the Planet. I really enjoyed talking with you.
Thank you. You too.
Thanks so much, everyone, for joining us today for another episode of How to Save the Planet. See you next time.